be on Israel for hosting such this wonderful program, Rabbi Schechter for making all the arrangements. We are learning, Baruch Hashem, we're learning Shmuel Aleph, and we're in Perek Beis. I'm going to share my screen with you, for those of you who don't have a Tanakh in front of you, Chabad.org, a wonderful website which has so many wonderful resources, and among those resources is an English and Hebrew translation of Tanakh. So here we have Shmuel Aleph Perek Beis. We read through last week the first 10 psukim or so, which is Chana's Tefillah. But this week, because Chana's Tefillah is so, there's so much there, there's so much to talk about, so I want to spend a few minutes tonight focusing again on Chana's Tefillah, but from a little bit of a different perspective. Last week we focused on just Rashi's interpretation and the more simple understanding of the psukim. This week I want to focus on the Malbim's interpretation of Chana's Tefillah, which is very important philosophically, and we'll take it from there. And then Emir Hashem, next week we'll move on to the next part of Perek Beis. So the Malbim really introduces his entire approach, and the Malbim very often, when you get familiar with the Malbim in Tanakh, very often he has an approach that he takes through the psukim, through the prakim. He's not one of these mefarshim that just interprets, you know, a pasuk here, a pasuk there, and unrelated. But he very much develops a theme. And throughout the perek, there's a developing theme. And the Malbim says that the theme that becomes apparent through Chana's Tefillah is really a theme of Hashgacha Pratis, of the Hashgacha of Hashem. What does that mean? That means Hashem's divine providence. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks out for people in this world, specifically for the tzaddikim in this world, and that's the theme that he develops throughout Chana's Tefillah. If you take a look just at Pasuk Aleph again, this is the beginning of Chana's Tefillah, Vatispalel Chana, Vatomar, Alatz Libi Ba'Hashem, and you look at the translation of Chabad, my heart has rejoiced through the Lord, Roma Karni Ba'Hashem, Rochav pi al oivai ki samachti bishua secha. My mouth is opened wide against my enemies, for I have rejoiced in your salvation. And here's where the Malbim picks up on this word that concludes the pasuk, bishua secha, in your salvation. And he says that that Chana's joy was not just in the salvation. It's not just ki samachti bishua. It's not just in the salvation, but it's bishua secha. It's Hashem's salvation. It's the fact that I recognize that you're the one who saved me. That Baruch Hashem, I conceived of a child, I gave birth to this child, and I'm raising the child now. As we know, Shmuel at this point is 2 years old. She's bringing him to the Mishkan. Kisamachti bishua secha. That I recognize that it's your miraculous salvation. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's miraculous salvation that caused this tremendous nace that enabled me to have a child. And that's what I'm thanking Hashem for. That's what I'm praising Hashem for. As we discussed last week, the first 9 psukim or so of this perek are all just essentially praising Hashem. Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the real tefillah comes in Pasuk Yud. But that's how she begins this incredible praise. And then Pasuk Beis, Ein Kadosh Kashem Ki Ein Biltecha. There's no one as holy as Hashem. There's no one besides you. Ve'ein Tzur Kelokeinu. So last week we spoke about Rashi's interpretation of Ein Tzur, which is certainly tremendously important. But here the Malbim says that the Navi is also coming to show a certain philosophical approach, that a certain philosophical approach is correct and another philosophical approach is incorrect. And what's that? And he says that there are those philosophers that think of the Ribbono Shel Olam, they think of God, they think of Hashem, and they think he can't be involved in such hashgacha pratis in this world. He can't. It's impossible. Why? Because he's too holy. He's too lofty. He's too exalted. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. He's up there in the higher realms. He can't possibly have anything to do with you and I. With me and you. He can't possibly have anything to do with us. You know, so often in this world, when we have, you know, when there are leaders, whether it's the president, whether it's the vice president, the governor, whatever the case is, we plain people, we think of them as, you know, they're leading the whole country. They don't have anything to do with me. They're not related to the Hamonam, to the masses, to me and to you. you know, here, you know, on the street. Of course, they, you know, they want to get elected, so they have to try to appeal to the masses. But in a sense, you know, they're not related to each and every one of us. They don't relate to us. They don't speak to us. They don't interact with us on an individual basis. Why? Because they're too big. They're too lofty. They're too exalted. And so too, lahavdil elef alfei avdolos. When it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we think of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as he's so lofty and so exalted and so great. He created the entire universe. He's not thinking about me. He's not thinking about you. He's thinking about countries. He's thinking about continents. He's thinking about world events. He's thinking about, you know, national, international events. He's not thinking about me, you know, what I did today, what I davened for at Mincha, what I might need, you know, tomorrow. He's not thinking about those things. So says the Malbim that this pasuk is telling us, Ein Kadosh Kashem. It's true. It's true that there's Ein Kadosh Kashem, that there's no one as holy as Hashem. That's true. Ki Ein Biltecha, because there's nobody else there. It's just him. The Ein Tzur Kelokeinu. But he says that Hashem's Kedusha is not like the Kedusha of everything else. Ki Ein Biltecha, because there's no other like Hashem, meaning that everything else comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Everything else has its roots in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when we say that somebody lofty or somebody exalted is not interacting, is not related to the plain people below them, that's because they have nothing to do with them. They have nothing to do with them. They don't interact with them. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything in the world exists because of him. Everything in the world exists because of him. Because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. You know, in a sense, and the Rambam explains this, you know, very, very well in Hilchos. Not that the Rambam needs my haskama, but the Rambam says it very clearly in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, and he describes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of everything that exists in this world. Not just that he created it, but it's like a continuous power supply. You imagine a lamp, right? A lamp is plugged into the wall. If you take that plug and you pull it out of the wall, the light goes out. Right? There's no power, the light goes out. The light doesn't exist anymore. So too says the Rambam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate MS. He's the ultimate truth. Because he's the one that really only, he's the one that truly exists. We all exist because we're plugged in, so to speak, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We get our power source. Our life comes from the fact that we're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If Kavi Yochel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would cease to exist, everything else would instantly cease to exist, like pulling out a light from the socket. The light would shut off. So too, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would cease to exist, everything else would cease to exist as well. That says the Malbim, that's Ki Ein Biltecha. And therefore, it's not like the president or the governor who's exalted and lofty because they're overseeing a state or a country or whatever the case might be. No. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is exalted because he created everything, but that also means that everything is still plugged into him. Everything is still connected to him. Ein Sur Kelokeinu, that there's no rock like our God is the literal translation. But Ein Sur, we discussed last week, as Rashi says, quotes Chazal, Ein Sayar, that there's no artist. So Rashi gave his interpretation, but the Malbim says the reason why there's Ein Sayar Kelokeinu, because he says, imagine for a moment a human craftsman. Imagine a human artist. If an artist or a craftsman completes their work, and then has to come back to that work to change something, to alter something. So what's the perspective? What do you assume? So you assume that shows imperfection. Right? If an artist has to come back to change the painting, that means that he painted it, he took a look at it, he evaluated it, he noticed an imperfection, so he has to go back and change that to perfect that which was imperfect. Right? If a person builds a car and they test the car, and there's something wrong. So now the engineer has to go back in the factory, and they have to redesign or reconfigure that car. That's because there was an error, there was a mistake, there was an imperfection. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like that. He's the ultimate tzayyar, he's the ultimate artist, the ultimate craftsman, unlike no other, that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to involve himself in nature and tweak nature and change nature, And is constantly involved. Unlike humans, it's not because it's imperfect. It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so deeply involved in this world because we're all plugged into him, because we're all still connected to him, because we all have our source and our roots in him. That's why he's involved. Not because it was anything imperfect. But that's the way he created the world, that he wants to continuously be involved in this world, and the existence of everything in the world is dependent 100% and completely on his existence. The Malbim at the end also describes how, based on this, essentially what this means is that everything that we encounter in the world that we would describe as nes, as a miracle, is actually something that's really just part of nature. And in a sense, nature is miraculous. As the Malbim writes, and you don't have this in front of you, but I'll just read you the words of the Malbim, just a few words. He writes that Kiyum HaTeva Hibriya Masmedas, that the continuation, the sustaining of nature is a continuous creation. V'im Yisalek Yadav Rega Tufsaka Metzius Kula, as we just said, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu were to remove his hand for even a moment, everything would cease to exist. V'lachein Lifamim Yekaimuhu Al Yidei Chukei HaTeva HaKvuim. There are times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will sustain the world based on the natural law, natural order, the natural laws that he set up in this world of how things should run. V'lifamim al yidei chukim acherim b'chiriyim shehunes. And other times, based on other laws that we call miracles, miraculous. Ki be'emes gam hateva hunes masmid v'hashkocha masmedes. Essentially, nature is just a continuous miracle. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always involved, because he's constantly involved in this world, and everything that exists and everything that you see in this world is intimately connected to Hashem's existence, that shows you that everything in this world, even what appears to us to be nature, is really miraculous. Everything is just, it's a series of miracles. And of course, as we know, when we think about the sun rising, we think about the plants growing, we think about a human being developing, you know, inside of his mother. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. And it's one miracle after the next, as much as it's nature, as much as it's teva, but it's miraculous. It's continuous miracles from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this, of course, reminds us of the famous Ramban. The Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo, when he discusses the mitzvah of Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim, to remember that so many mitzvahs in the Torah are somehow correlated and somehow related to remembering Litzias Mitzrayim, writes the Ramban, Umin hanisim hakidolim hamifursamim. Based on the big, open, revealed miracles, Kriyas Yamsuf, Eser Makos, Shemesh B'Givon Dom, all the wild, incredible miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done, the walls of Yericho, we read it, we learned about in Yehoshua. Based on those miracles, Adamote Benisim Hanistarim, that allows a person, enables a person to admit and to recognize that the world is really just a series of hidden miracles. Shehem Yesod HaTorah Kula, and this is the foundation of the entire Torah. She'ein la'adam chelek, and now he uses a strong language. She'ein la'adam chelek b'Torah Moshe Rabbeinu. A person does not have a say, does not have a share in the Torah of Moshe. Ad she'namin b'chol devarenu u'mikrenu, until we believe with all of our words and all of our deeds. She'kulam nisim ein bohem teva minhagu shalolam. Everything is nes. Everything is miraculous. There's no such thing, really, as nature. Because nature is really just a series of miracles. Now, there might be miracles that that are predictable, because they're miracles that repeat themselves. But essentially, says the Ramban, and this is really just echoing, the Malbim is echoing the words of the Ramban, that everything is miraculous. And says the Ramban, that's Ve'ein Sur Kelokeinu. That there's no rock, there's no greater... There's no artist like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's not like all the other artists. He does come back to his work, not because it's imperfect, but because he's so intimately involved. Because he's constantly involved in this world and manipulating this world, sometimes through nature and sometimes through miracle. Pasuk Gimel, Al Tarbu Tedabru Givoa Givoa. Right? Don't speak. Do not increasingly, we'll read the translation we have in front of us here. Do not increasingly speak haughtily. Let not arrogance, yetze asak mipichem, let not arrogance come out of your mouth. Ki keldeos Hashem velo niskinu alilos. For the Lord is a man of thoughts, and to him are deeds counted. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what we're thinking. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what we're doing. And writes the Malbim here also, it's the same argument. Don't say that Hashem is too lofty to be mashkiach in this world. Don't say Hashem is too lofty to intervene, to oversee, to be intimately involved in this world. That's not the case. You might say, ki kel deos Hashem, this is part of the claim, says the Malbim. You might say, ki kel deos Hashem, that if you're claiming that Hashem has multiple deos, so that would tie him to changing things in this world. It can't be. No. And also, velo niskenu alilos, don't claim that he has character traits. The Malbim says alilos are deeds that come out as an expression of a character trait. Don't say that he has character traits that cause him to act in different ways and to change things, you know, such as the following. No, it's not. These things are not. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu involved in this world. Don't say he's too lofty. Don't say he's too removed. Dalet keshes giborim chatim v'nichsholim ozru chayil. And says the Malbim, the psukim here are bringing several examples of things that change, seemingly sometimes on a dime. Things that change from one end to the next, and almost unnatural. But it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashgacha. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intimate role in this world. So number one, keshes giborim chatim, right? That the bows of the mighty are broken. Those that were strong instantly become weakened. Those who stumbled, v'nichshalim, ozru chayil, are girded with strength. Those who are weak all of a sudden become strong. What's that? How does that work? How does that operate? That we have this fluctuation between those who are strong becoming weak, those who are weak becoming strong. Says the Malbim, that's Hashgacha. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement in this world. Pasuk Hey, Seveyim Balechem Niskaru. Right? Those who are satiated have hired themselves out for bread. Those who are wealthy now have to work hard for their living. They can't just bask in their wealth the way that they once did. Ure'evim chadelu, while the hungry have ceased, those that were hungry and that were poor, they now become wealthy. Adakara yalda shiva v'rabas banim umlola, while the barren woman has borne seven, she that had many children has been bereaved. And here also the Malbim says, you know, this is again, change number one was strength to weakness and vice versa. Change number two, wealth to poverty. Change number three, a woman who's barren to having many children. The Malbim says, interestingly, that often you find in Tanakh the number seven. Here it says, Yalda Shiva. So Rashi understood last week, we discussed that Chana actually had seven children, according to one interpretation. But the Malbim says, no, seven in Tanakh just means many. It just means a lot. So here also, we have a woman who has no children, and now all of a sudden she becomes a mother of many. Is Hashem Mashkiach over all of these details of every person? One person, an individual. We're not talking about a nation. We're not talking about a continent. We're not talking about big, global, international or national scales here. We're talking about individuals. One person was strong, became weak, or vice versa. One person was wealthy, became poor. One person was barren, had children. That one change in one person, in one individual, is that Hashem? Is that the Hashgacha? Says the Malbim, the Psukim are saying, yes, of course it is. As it says, Pasuk Vav, Hashem meimisu machayev. Hashem is the one who kills. Hashem is the one who brings to life. Morid Sheol vayoal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who brings us down to the grave. Vayoal, and he brings us back up. This is referring to Tchias HaMesim. Interestingly, the Malbim says that here we're referencing. If you look actually, let's take a look at Pasuk Zayin. Hashem morishu mashir mashbilaf meromen. Right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu impoverishes and makes rich, he humbles and also exalts. So the Malbim points out that the Gemara in Tainis says that there are three maftechos, three keys that were not given to a shaliach. Other things in the world HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed a shaliach to change, to manipulate, to alter, but there were three things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not hand off to a shaliach. Number one, children. Right, the ability to have children and to grant that ability. Number two, tchias hameisim, the ability to bring those who pass back to life, and rain, the ability to bring rain. Those three gifts, those three maftechos, those three keys, were HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept them for himself. He did not give them to any shaluchim. So here writes the Malbim, we mention parnasa, right? Hashem morishu mashir. So we mentioned the making a living and making a parnasa, which says the Malbim refers to the rain, because of course the rain is what enables us to grow things and to have an economy and have parnasa. We mentioned children, right? The Adakara Yalda Shiva Varavas Banim Umlala, perhaps Hashem Mimisu Mechaya also refers to having children. So therefore, because we mentioned children, we mentioned parnasa, we also mentioned Tchias HaMesim. And that's Morid Sheol Hayol, even though Tchias HaMesim seems to have no connection here, but besides for the fact that it's a major change, but the Malbim says it refers to these three maftechos, these three keys that were kept in the hands of Hashem. Pasuk Zayin, okay, that's what we just read. The Malbim also says, if you look, of course, Pasuk Zayin corresponds to Pasuk Hey, right? Pasuk Hey is referring to Sevei Malachim Niskaru. So then the counter to that is Hashem Morish Mashir. Right? Hashem is the one who makes these changes, who makes people wealthy or makes people poor. And then, of course, Hashem Meimisu Mechaye, he says also that corresponds The next pasuk corresponds to pasuk dalet of the power. Pasuk Zayin. In Pasuk Zayin, we have both Hashem Morishu Mashir. That corresponds to Pasuk Hey, and then Mash Bilaf Meromim, that Hashem humbles but also exalts. That goes back to Pasuk Dalet, referring to the Giborim who become weak, and then the weak, you know, who become strong. Then we have Pasuk Ches, which we recognize from Halal. There's a very similar pasuk in Tehillim that we sing in Halal. Mekim Me Afar Dal Me Ashpos Yarim Evyon. Again, referring to these drastic, dramatic changes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes a poor person from the dirt and raises him up. Me'ashpos yarim evyon, he takes an evyon. Evyon is even worse than dal, and he raises him from the ashpa, he says is worse than afar. Laho shivim nedivim, but it's not just that he now makes him comfortable or is able to put food on the table and to support his family. No, laho shivim nedivim. Now he sits with officers. He sits with the noble people. And they inherit, not just this generation, but for future generations, they inherit a kisei kavod, an honorable place, an honorable chair. Very important line. The pillars of the earth are the Lord, the pillars of the earth are Hashem's, and he placed the world upon them. And says the Malbim, that this is what the Pasuk is saying here again, is focusing on this Hashgacha, that the world was created on the foundations of Hashgacha Pratis. The world was created on the foundations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being intimately involved in this world, so that these changes that we see in the world, poverty to wealth, strength to weakness, etc., don't indicate any change in Hashem, but rather that's a change in the people. Hashem is there, Hashem is a constant. Hashem is there the entire time, and He's being Mashgiach. The fact that a person was wealthy and now poor, that's a change in the person, not a change in the Ribono Shel Olam. The fact that a person was strong and now weak, that's a change in the person. That's not a change in the Ribono Shel Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constant throughout. His Hashgacha is constant throughout. The very, very important Pasuk Tes, V'ragle Chasidav Yishmor, that the legs, the feet of his righteous, of the Chasidim, of the pious people, Hashem will protect. U'reshoim b'choshech yidamu, and the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. Kilo v'choach yigbar ish, because but not by strength will man prevail. And the Malbim says that this is really symbolic of the Torah. The Torah we know ki ner mitzvah v'Torah or. The Torah is referred to as the light. The Torah is what enlightens us. The Torah is what enables us to enlighten the world around us. So the Torah is the light. The tzaddikim walk by the light of the Torah. And that's why it's Rishayim b'choshech yidam. The wicked shall be cut off in darkness. Because the Rishayim, they don't look. They don't use the Torah as their light. They're plunged into darkness. And therefore, they're going to be cut off. What does it mean they're going to be cut off? So that means that they're not going to be subject to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha Pratis. And this is what many Mefarshim and the Ramchal discusses this at length. In Derech Hashem and other Mefarshim and other works discuss how the nature of how the Hashgacha Pratis works. That essentially, the greater the tzaddik, the more intimately involved in his or her life HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. The greater the Rasha, the less HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved intimately in every detail of their lives, and therefore they leave them up to chance. They leave them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves them up to nature. I shouldn't say chance, nature. HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves them up to nature. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did set up nature, but that's really for the Rishayim. That's for the, you know, perhaps even the Beinonim to a degree. The Tzadikim and Tzidkanios, there HaKadosh Baruch Hu is intimately involved in their lives, in each and every aspect of their lives. That's Ragle Chassid of Yishmor, that the feet of the Chassidim, they're the ones that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching their feet, their every step that they make, every move that they make are subject to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha. And that's what the Pasuk ends, Ki lo v'choach yigbarish. It's the person's gevura doesn't depend on their strength. The person's gevura depends on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, depends on what he grants them. Such an important perspective. I remember once hearing a story about Reb Chaim Kanievsky. So, you know, Reb Chaim Kanievsky is one of the Gedolei Hador, if not the Gedolei Hador at this point, in Eretz Yisrael. And many stories that are told about Chassidish Rebbes, you know, what we call Chassidish Maisim, with different Maifsim and miracles, miracle workers. But usually with the Litvish Rashi Yeshiva and the Litvish Poskim and people like Reb Chaim Kanievsky, you don't hear too many Chassidish stories. But there's one story that I heard of Reb Chaim Kanievsky, and again, it's not verified. I heard the story. You can try to verify on your own, but I heard it multiple times. Is that Reb Chaim Kanievsky was once writing a sefer on an obscure topic of the obscure topic of Chagavim, which is grasshoppers and the different simanim, the different signs. Some of them might make grasshopper kosher. Ashkenazim generally don't eat grasshoppers anymore, Baruch Hashem, but some Sephardim still do. They have a mesorah for what the simanim are. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky was writing a sefer about this, and apparently there was one type of chagav that he wanted to see, that he didn't have a good picture of what it looked like. And apparently the story, the legend goes, that as he's writing this sefer, this particular type of chagav, locust or insect or whatever it was, literally landed on his window. And he was able to look at it. He then understood, you know, what the sources, the makoros were referring to, and then he was able to continue writing his sefer. And people witnessed this, and they were shocked. They were dumbfounded, and they went over to him, and they you know, like, I can't believe it. You know, can you believe that just happened to you? It was a nace, you know, a miracle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought this chagav. And apparently his reaction was, he looked at them quizzically, and he said, like, he doesn't understand. You know, he said he was writing a sefer. He needed to know what it looked like. So, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to provide me with an opportunity for me to understand, you know, what it looks like. So, again, you know, on the level of Reb Chaim Kanievsky, on the level of the great Tzadikim and the Tzidkanios, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashkiach B'Pratius. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his Hashkacha Pratis, his specific divine providence to intervene. Ragle Chassid of Yishmor, to intervene in each and every step that they make. And then we'll conclude with Pasuk Yud, Hashem Yechatu Merivav, Allah Bashamayim Yareim, that those who strive with the Lord, with Hashem, will be broken. Upon him will he thunder in the heaven, in heaven. Hashem Yadin Afsei Aretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will judge the ends of the earth. V'yitein Oz L'malko V'yarem Keren Mishichi, will grant strength to his king and raise the horn of his anointed one. So that also, the Malbim says that many aspects of Shmuel's life are included in this pasuk. This pasuk is the conclusion of the tefillah. In fact, according to some of the mafarshim at the beginning of the parak, this pasuk is really the tefillah. Everything else until now was praises of Hashem, the first nine psukim. But pasuk Yud is really the tefillah, or certainly the conclusion of the tefillah, and in it is contained Chana's Ruach HaKodesh, where she saw the things that would happen to Shmuel, and she davened for these five things. Number one, Hashem Yechatu Merivav, that the Plishtim, that we know that Shmuel would be contending with throughout his lifetime, the Plishtim should be afraid. Hashem Yechatu Merivav, those who strive with the Lord will be broken. That's Ruach HaKodesh, that refers to the Plishtim. Second, Hashem should raise a loud voice against the Plishtim. That is Olav Vashamayim Yareim, right? That upon him will he thunder in the heaven, again referring to the Plishtim. Number three, continuing in the pasuk, Hashem Yodin Af Seyaretz, that Hashem should judge the ends of the earth. That's referring to the fact that Shmuel was a shofet who judged throughout Eretz Yisrael. V'yitein Oz L'malko, Hashem should give strength to his king. Says the Malbim, that refers to Shaul HaMelech, who was granted the power to save Bnei Yisrael. He was the first king granted the power to save Bnei Yisrael. And then finally, V'yarem Keren Meshicho, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should raise the horn of the anointed one. That refers to David HaMelech, who was the anointed one who was ultimately exalted and raised by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mirtz Hashem will continue next week with the story of Chafni and Pinchas. Thank you for listening and thank you for joining.